Hey, it's your man KJ. We back. Dr. Sai, what you got for me this year?
You rocking with the village. Let's get it.
We back, y'all. 2017. Welcome to the village. Welcome to the village. It's your man KJ. Tonight I got my man Slink in the village. Slink, what's good with you, brother? How you living?
Oh man, living good, man. Living good.
That's what's up, bro.
How you doing, man?
Man, you know, I'm doing good. I'm over here really just trying to figure out how to mute some of these notifications and all this stuff going on in the background and all that stuff, but I really don't feel like messing with it right now. So, village, every now and again, you're gonna hear a and all this other stuff, because I just don't know how to mute the doggone notifications yet. I'm still trying to learn this doggone laptop. But that's here nor there, right? Here nor there. Here it is. My brother, let's jump into these topics, man. We didn't have the village waiting long enough. Okay. And if you guys are watching on Facebook Live, appreciate you. Appreciate you. And for those of you that are watching on Crowdcast or even YouTube. Oh no, YouTube one is not working correctly. So it's all good. Anyways, yeah, we're here, we're live. There it is. Let's talk about Comey, man. Let's talk about James Comey. Let's go ahead and just jump into this one here. This one, I'm not gonna sit up here and say that I didn't see it coming, because we all knew the dude wasn't doing a very good job. So that wasn't the the issue is not so much him messing up, and I'm so sorry, village, about all these doggone notifications coming up. Y'all keep hearing this bong. I have to figure out how to mute this stuff. I don't know how to mute it yet. But let's talk about James Comey here. James Comey, now relieved FBI director. He wasn't doing a good job. We know that, right? But here's the number one piece for me. How you get fired and you don't even know it's coming. That was that. Okay, besides the fact that James Comey did a bad job, whatever. He's investigating 45. Okay, whatever. Here's the ugly side about all this, though, bro. You get fired and you're talking with other FBI agents. I think it was some kind of hiring event. I'm not sure of the full circumstances, but you get pretty much get fired and through television. And I want to know, I'm going to throw it to you first and I'm going to dive real deep into this one. But what were you thinking when you initially saw this?
I think it had a lot to do with that little echo there. I think it had a lot to do with the incident that you're referring to. The president, you know, 45, he's been festering for a few weeks probably on this. You know, obviously, you know, we all know Comey didn't do a good job. I mean, you know, it's been doing a bad job. But, you know, it's probably a little two sides to this also, too. You know, he's going after the president. He's investigating him. So you know how that guy is about that kind of stuff. So you know that he's going to, you know, he doesn't care what people think. He's, you know, even though that's like, okay, the guy investigating you, you're going to fire the guy that's investigating you. Okay. But then also, you know, he badmouthed the president, you know, so basically these two guys, you know, it's been a long road to this, what we're getting to right now. So this has been going on, you know, since basically since the beginning of this administration. So y'all know, between those two, that animosity, and it just blew up with that when he's basically said that. Basically, he basically refuted what the president was saying regarding the wiretapping. Obama, and he was accusing Barry of wiretapping. So, you know, a lot of this is about legacy bashing. So, and you're not going along with Trump. You know, Trump's like, hey, you know, this is my main dude, right? He's not going along with me. So he's basically refuting what I'm saying. So Trump was really, really upset about that. So, and I think he's been fuming on it. And I think that, you know, now it's, you know, he did his thing. So, but something else is going to come of this, you know, so but, you know, it's going to get real good.
Yeah. So this, I'm looking at this as, and I make a lot of jokes on social media. This is what I do. I crack jokes. Here's the issue. Basically, you fired the man that was investigating you. Now, you can say all you want that this is not about him investigating your administration, but the sticky part about all of this is, the ugly, ugly, harsh reality about this is, this could very easily be seen as such. This is not just let's get rid of him situation. Yeah, I get it. Let's get rid of him. Okay, cool. I get it. But the timing and all this. Now, I'm trying to give 45 the benefit of the doubt. I really am. I'm actually trying to give him the benefit of the doubt. However, when you look at all the evidence that's weighed against 45 and all of a sudden now you want to get rid of this dude, that doesn't look good. That doesn't make you look good at all. And I think that's what most people are really concerned about is, okay, well, since you say you have nothing to hide, well, then why'd you do that? Now, this is simply saying, I need to get rid of this person because he's not doing a good job. Great, grand, wonderful. Let's move forward. Cool. However, the other piece of this for me is I'm looking at former Director Comey, right? But you also look at the people that were involved with this. If you look at Attorney General Jeff Sessions, he was supposed to recuse himself for anything involving Russia and all this other stuff, right? This ties into the whole Russia thing. It all ties in together. So to me, you have to recuse yourself completely. He should not have had any input as far as if this man would keep his job or not. And that's what I'm looking at. There's so much evidence that says you could have done this, you could have done that, whatever the case may be. However, the man's been fired, right? And he's been fired on some craziness. That's what I think the world is seeing. There is no doubt that Director Comey didn't do the best job. Let's be honest. But when you get fired in the middle of an investigation that's starting to heat up, it makes you look funny. That's what I got.
Yeah, that's a bad look. That just doesn't look good. It's almost in a legal sense, like if you look at stuff like temporal proximity. It's like, you know, you action and then next week there, you know, you're getting axed, you know. You know, so it's just it looks bad. You know, the timing of it. It just, in my mind, when you look at a person's past actions and their trends and the way they go about their everyday business, this gentleman or this president, you know, I can't help but look at it in the context of you're firing the guy who's investigating you, and you're doing that because he's coming after you for one thing, and he does not have any confidence in you. And he's already went public and said this, and it's on the record, and everybody said that. So that kind of humiliates you a little bit. Humiliated him a little bit. So I think it's twofold with that. You know, I think it's a, you know how he is. He's a vindictive person. So it's a little bit of that stuff, and it's already, you know, it's a little bit of both, you know. So, and the bad job too. Because you can't keep him around, but what time is a good time to get rid of him? But I don't know if it would have been this time. Maybe you should have did it a while ago. Maybe you should have did it when you know how he is. He's addicted. It's just a tough one, you know. But I don't, you know, the timing just doesn't look good. So
yeah, and that's ultimately what it's about, man. It's the timing didn't look good. I'm gonna go ahead and invite Chance on board here. see if we can get him on pretty fast. And that's what it's all about, man. Like I said, Comey didn't do a very good job. It's not the issue of him doing his job well. Now, the whole October surprise thing and all that stuff that he pulled on Hillary Clinton, that's what, you know, these political things, they're ugly. It's nothing pretty. It's nothing to be, you know, to smile about, right? Mm-hmm. But again, if you look at the reason why Trump said he ultimately released him, he pretty much said, oh, well, you know, he kind of said to the extent of the way he did Crooked Hillary, right? Mm-hmm. That's essentially what's happening. You're now defending the man that wanted to lock up Hillary Clinton. Mm-hmm. Or no, you're upset with the man that wanted to fire Hillary Clinton. Mm-hmm. So you kind of have to sit back and look at that and be like, well, which one is it? You know, you have to make a decision. You can't thread the line, mm-hmm. you know. So go ahead, man. I'm sorry. You got more? Go ahead.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. You straighten the line. I see it. See, when it benefits you, when you benefit me, then we're good. Mm-hmm. That benefited him, the stuff that he did. I mean, obviously, he's the president. But now it's not benefiting him. He's like, your ass has got to go. You should see that this type, you don't want this type of person to be your leader. I mean, just dude is unscrupulous, man. It's just, man, there's so many layers to, in so many ways you can look at it. In every way I look at it, no matter how, if you try to give a benefit of the doubt, it just always spins back to the same thing, man. It's just crooked, man.
Mm-hmm. I'm over here trying to type in the chat box here and make sure people can hear us and stuff like that. So, yeah man, it's the whole process, the whole thing definitely was not done correctly, right? It just was not done correctly. And that's the argument that most people are going to say, well, why do you got to fire him like that? Give this man the respect he deserves. He's an FBI director. He should never have found out that he was fired via television while he's speaking at an engagement for the FBI. Like, for the FBI. Like, he's over here, from what I understand, from what I've read, it was a recruiting thing for the FBI. Now, me as a FBI agent or trying to become an FBI agent, I'm looking at that, I'm like, damn. Like, absolutely. Like, you just fired the top dog and didn't even you couldn't even give him a phone call, shoot the brother a text. Shoot him a DM in the tweets. Like, are you known for tweeting? You couldn't shoot him a DM?
Absolutely. And this is the organization that, I don't know if I'm going to have the think about this. I don't know if this is the organization I'm going to be a part of now. If I was one of those recruits in there, that's how I'll be thinking. Like, these dudes are straight just ruthless. So, and that's really, like, really unprofessional. I mean, just the max. I mean, that's like some... You don't, as a president, you don't do that, those type of things, man. It's still, you just don't do that, man. It's just not classy at all. Regardless, there's still pomp and circumstance with this whole thing. You're supposed to set the tone. That's what this is. You're supposed to set the tone as the president. Even with these little things like this, people really get a grasp of this and they see this. You're the man that's setting the tone. You're not setting a good tone. It's just unprofessional, man.
Yeah.
Horrible.
Yeah, very unprofessional. Definitely should not have happened the way that it happened. We acknowledge that. But I think the key factor in all this, when you really boil down to it, is how close was Director Comey to getting the information he needed? Because he also put in a request to have more money, right? He put the request in to have more money because maybe he needed more special investigators. He needed overtime, right? All these things... And you're right, Chance. I'm trying to get you on board here, Chance. I don't know what's going on. It says you were sent the request to come join us, so we're just waiting for you to load up. But if you really look at the specifics, man, it's, yeah, Comey did run his mouth too much. But in regards to him doing his job, if he would have just, I have to agree with Chance, if he would have kept his mouth shut and just got the evidence he needed and gone from there, then who knows? Who knows what would have happened? I don't know. But I think ultimately Comey would have been fired regardless of the situation. Because like I said earlier, he wasn't doing his job very well. Did he set up Hillary Clinton to lose? Some would argue yes, some would argue no. Some would say she kind of set herself up to fail. And I can concur with that. But there are also the other extenuating circumstances of all the things that he did to kind of push the envelope, for lack of a better word, right? So with that in mind, you know, Chance, I'm trying to get you on. I really want to hear your voice on this one, get your thoughts, but I don't know what's going on. Don't know. What we could do is we could refresh the page and see what it does. So Slink, give me 1 second here. We're going to reload this page and see if I can get him back on. We're still recording into into Audacity. I'm going to hit yes here. All right, I'm back up, and it still says that my brother Chance has got to accept the connection. All right, so yeah, Chance, will if you want to, when you get on and you want to deliver your thoughts on this one real quick, we'll give you a few mics to kind of go from there. And I see Dre's in the village. What's going on, girl? All right. And Village, this is my first time using Crowdcast and connecting Facebook Live and everything like that. So for those of you that are using Facebook Live, if you're having issues to where you can't see me or you can't hear me, and Village, or this is my... Look at that. See, this is something new. I got to keep that muted. Didn't even know. Look at that. So, yeah, let me refresh this page here. This one looks frozen. Yeah, first time using this. So it's going to be some little bit of growing pains on me the first couple of episodes, but it is what it is. Let's jump into this next topic here, man. What the Trump? Y'all know what we do. So let's talk about Sally Yates. Now, Sally Yates is had a hearing, and she pretty much, you know, let the cat out of the bag, man. Like she went in there like Bruce Lee, Chuck Norris, and any other martial artist you can think of, and said what she had to say, and dropped the mic and walk away. But the question really is, did she really do anything, though? Right? And here's why I'm going to ask that, Jermon and Chance, because I know you can hear me. The reason why I'm asking, did she really do anything? Because in the eyes of a lot of conservatives, liberal, whatever, some would say she's just a jaded ex-employee, right? And they're going to harp on the fact that she is a woman. She's a woman, jaded ex-employee. So, Slink, I'm going to throw it at you. And Chance, go ahead and type your thoughts in the box, and I'll just relay them to the village. So go ahead, Jermon.
Yeah, that's she's going up the river without a paddle on that one. You see where it's, you see where it's going. I mean, you kind of like, okay, yeah, I really admire that. I really admire that. But the effect is not going to, I don't think it's going to have any kind of, it's not going to have any kind of effect. And then people, they always are going to question it, because it's like, it's a scorned employee, you know, it's a, you know, just the way it went about, it's a scorned employee. So a scorned, you know, so I don't know. How do you see it as far as like, you think that it has any, you think it's going to have any, think it has any weight to it?
You know, of course it'll have some weight to it. That's a given. It's going to have weight because some people will truly take her words to heart and some won't. So I'm over here reading Chance. Chance said she gave the strong left hand. McConnell won't budge on his support for Trump. Mm-hmm. You know, the people that are locked in to him are locked into him. That's it. This is a done deal for them. They don't come hell or high water. They're locked in. And you know, truthfully, man, I can appreciate that. I can respect that. I really can. However, let's look at the people that are not locked in. And let me say it like that. I'm not locked in. I was never locked into 45. I didn't vote for him. We'll never vote for him. That's just my personal feeling. If you don't like that, that's fine. That's just how I personally feel. But here's the thing. Here's the issue. I want to remove the fact that people are going to say she is a jaded woman employee and really break down what she had to say. She literally was like, hey, I warned you about this. I warned you about that, right? She's not speaking from a place of hate, in my personal opinion. She's literally speaking to a place that says, listen to what I have to say. Yes, I am an ex-employee, but I warned you about this prior to. And of course, during the hearing, Ted Cruz brought up the fact that she didn't want to listen to 45's immigration ban, or what we're going to call the Muslim ban, because that's basically what it was. It was a Muslim ban, right? And it kills me how still Republicans or conservatives, whatever the case may be, right? They'll say, oh, well, it wasn't a Muslim ban. Well, I mean, 45 actually verbalized that it was an actual Muslim ban, right? So that's here nor there right now. But the biggest issue about all of this, the biggest thing that people need to realize is just listen to what she has to say. Mm-hmm. That's all I got. Slink, you got anything else you want to put down on this?
Yeah, like you said, just give her the benefit of the doubt. Listen to what she has to say, because what she's saying is credible. I mean, it goes back to what I say as far as like the trends that this dude has set. So regardless if she's the ex. Ex-servant, ex-employee, government servant. That doesn't matter. I mean, put yourself in a person's shoes outside of that. It's like, we've all been in situations where, not all, but people, there's situations where you're like, look, that, you know, okay, I get that I was attached to this, but I'm not now, but I'm telling you that this is what we're faced with, and this is it. You have to listen to me. Take away that part right there, but just listen to the facts. You only looking at one little bit, one aspect of it, and that's it. It's just one aspect of it. She's a former. But that doesn't dispute or discredit what she's saying. You know, and that's what I'm getting from you, Kev. So But that's where I'm at, man. So I'm with you.
Yeah. You know, you gotta weigh all the evidence, man. And this is the thing. I would like to look at myself. I'm very on the bipartisan viewpoint. I'm not going to sit up here and I'll never tell you President Obama was perfect. I won't tell you 45 is perfect, right? I'm not going to do that. But I am able to look at the evidence and say, okay, this is my opinion, formulate my thought. I'm not stuck on the left or the right. I'm a right down the middle kind of person. If you can present this to me and show me evidence and things to show what I'm feeling otherwise, cool, let's do it, right? Mm-hmm. If not, you know, hey man, let's talk about it and figure out and let's go from there. Absolutely. But the whole thing of, you know, you are just one way or the other is completely obsolete in this day and age. To me, you cannot call yourself a true liberal or a true conservative. You have to really be able to look at both sides of the coin and then make a determination from there. You have to be able to do that. And that's what the biggest thing is with that going forward that people need to realize is that sometimes Republicans, conservatives, they may be right, may have something good to put out there. Liberals will also have the same thing. You just got to, we got to stop letting this political jargon separate us. You're conservative or Republican. I'm liberal. I'm liberal and progressive. Right. What if you can combine those two, right? People need to realize, man, that this whole thing is just a divide and conquer tactic. That's mm-hmm. all it is. Mm-hmm. So,
and to divide and conquer only benefits that top 1%.
That's it. I need as long as they keep us upset. If they keep us upset, then guess what?
They winning. And people have to understand that. You know, a lot of people are like, man, I don't like politics. That's what people tell me, right? And I'm gonna tell you, I don't like politics either. But I do love my country, and I do love the people that are here. So, and I have a family, you know. So, you know, so it behooves me to be abreast of this, or to at least, you know, at least know what's going on, at least have at least try to spread whatever knowledge I get my hands on, you know, or whatever I learn, try to pass that on, because it really is important to understand that the divide and conquer has always been the main play that's been utilized in this country. And so in nowadays and age, it really benefits that really elite, that really, in my eye, they're not elite, but that's what they're called, that 1%. That's who it's benefiting. It's benefiting the rich and the wealthy. It's benefiting the wealthy.
Yeah, 100%. Benefiting the wealthy. And Chance just said it. For those of you that are on Facebook Live and you don't know who Chance is, Chance is the other piece of this. Definitely the godfather politic over here. Definitely love having him. But he's in the chat box on Crowdcast. And he's beautifully stated, country and people before party and ideology. That's, you know, that's it. That's the best way to put it. So let's move on here to this next topic here in the What the Trump segment. Now, this is really has nothing to do with 45. But I want to talk about it because the newly elected French POTUS, he put out a video on Facebook, on social media. I'm not sure if it was Facebook or if it was a commercial he did, but he did it in English. And he basically is inviting engineers, scientists, and the like to come on out to Paris, man, and be like, hey, we believe in climate change. We believe in all of this, right? Come on out and let's work it out. Let's figure it out. Marcon, if I'm saying his name right.
Marcon.
Looks like a fairly young dude. You know, he's about that life. And look, man, I'm excited to see this dude go to work. I'm actually going to follow him and see what he can get done. Because I looked at who was running against him. Female Donald Trump. She had the support. Absolutely. She had the support of racial hate groups in her country. And she essentially got blew out of the water. I believe she received, what was it, 30? Gosh, top of my head. I should have the link up. But I believe she received like 34 or 35% of the vote or something like that. Yeah, 35%. That's right. 35% of the vote. And he pretty much blew her out of the water. So Paris got it right.
Absolutely did. Chance, you're right. She was crazy. And you know her dad was like that, Chance. That goes back in history. She was trying to push the same politics her dad was pushing. And I'm talking about from a long time ago. Either her dad or her grandfather. I can't remember. I believe it's her dad. Bad policies, racial hatred. The Roma population, which is basically gypsies, you know, that's the name that they call them. Correct is Roma. That population, and just basically not immigrants, but the smaller populations, they were really hammering down on them. So it's just the same kind of political rhetoric that is just a new spin to it, to put a little modern age spin on it, but it's the same policies and same ideology that her father, that her family line was pushing previously. And I'm glad that France saw that. I know you saw a lot of those tweets about how they got it right and how we got it wrong. Basically what they were saying. I got some of them I saved on my phone. I'm just like, oh my God, I can't. what can I say? It's one of those things like, hey, what can I say? I mean, I know me, I got it right. You got it right. Chance got it right. We know what's going down. Most of in the village, we know what's going down. We know not to vote for that guy, vote for 45, but you know, we're only part of it. So it's our countrymen that, you know.
Yeah, definitely.
But Marcotte is on the right. Is on the right track, and I like him, and I'm gonna do what you're doing too, is kind of keep an eye on him and follow him and follow his, you know, what's going on with him. Mm-hmm. I mean, great guy.
Yeah, I don't know too much about him. I got some echo going on here. Let me see here.
I read it. Seems pretty. He seems on the up and up. So
okay,
we'll see how things go.
Yeah. So here it is. Like I said, I don't know too much about this man. I really and truly do not. But when you put out a video, you haven't even gone through your whole inauguration process, and one of the very first things is, did you see the party that they had? Like, they literally had a rave for this guy. I was absolutely just like, wow, like, that's just, I mean, I'm tap dancing on 36. I'm out of the rave age. But it's the thought, you know what I mean? It's the whole thing. And then for him to put out that video that says, hey, scientists, you know, people that want to make the environment better, come to Paris. Let's do this. Come on, man. We have our current administration trying to cut EPA standards down to the bare minimum, or get rid of the EPA, for that matter.
They're trying to get rid of
it. Yeah, trying to get rid of the EPA. I just... Look, I'm all about people having jobs, right? Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I am saying this because I understand these coal miners, these people, this is what they know, this is what they do, right? But 20 years from now, when that black lung disease has creeped up and is threatening their lives, then what? What process do we go through next? And that's the biggest piece about all of this. It's, yes, I understand where you're coming from. You know, you want all these things out of way so you can do your job, feed your family. But what about the long term? I don't think people are thinking about the long term. And that's pretty much what I got about that. Chance is over here in the chat box, guys. He's just is rattling off all kinds of stuff. Marcon is a pro-business and left-wing guy. It may be a good combination. Yet, you know, my brother, we shall definitely see. But yeah, he says you like him. He's Canadian. Yeah, Michael. Chance is over here.
I'm like him and the Canadian guy too.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's getting it in.
Yeah, Chance. Y'all don't understand. Chance is not able for some reason to be live with us. But it is what it is. We'll hopefully get this fixed before the Saturday morning show, and we'll go from there. And what's unfortunate,
Chance is involved. I know that.
Yeah, Chance is going to be here. I keep having to refresh the Facebook live streams. I don't know why, but it's all good. We're still here, still grinding. So let's move on to this next topic, man. Last part of what the Trump. The full effects of Trump care. I actually talked to some people this week. They kind of chose to remain nameless. I get it. And they're literally like, man, if this goes down, I'm going to lose coverage. If this actually gets implemented. There are some people that I know that have real pre-existing conditions that are not covered under the quote-unquote Trump care. You know, all we can do is hopefully that this bill goes to the Senate and they chop it up, make it right, and call it Trump care and keep it pushing. Because I've said it before and I'll keep saying it. There are so many people that are benefiting from the Affordable Care Act, aka Obamacare, whichever you want to go back and forth with. It doesn't matter. Was it a perfect implementation? No, it was not. It was not perfect. It had a lot of flaws. I will be the first one to say that, right? But the point was is that people now have coverage. And that's what I'm annoyed about, is that people that I know and love could possibly lose their coverage. So, and yeah, Chance, I was going to say that vets lose coverage. If you're a woman, you will be a basically, if you have a vagina, it's a pre-existing condition. Yep. You know, I read, irregular menstrual cycles can be a pre-existing condition. Mm-hmm. Wow.
I just heard something about pregnancy, too, or something like that. Was it something like that? There's a lot of ones that are like, it's just like, are you serious? It's going to hurt a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what the smart thing with a person would do, okay, you know, it has, it's not perfect. So instead of making this big old deal about this and making this just so cumbersome and difficult and making it so divisive, just go in, fix the parts that are lacking, right? Fix the parts that are lacking, leave the thing in place, call that mother whatever you want to call it, as long as it's helping this country. But because it is synonymous with the previous president, you want to come in, you want to tear it up and bash it up at all costs, even if it's hurting your constituents, your both sides, far left, far right, whatever, middle, whoever. It's affecting everybody, you know, veterans, and particularly women. So why put the country through all that? You've only been in office a quarter of the year, and you're causing so much turmoil. This will be one good thing. It's like, hey, you know what? Okay, I get it. Let's take care of us. You talk about taking care of us. First thing you do is take care of health. You can't work a job. You work with jobs and this and that and this and that. You got to be alive. You got to take care of the population. And it's due, and the population is getting older. Take care of the population. You're doing this. It's all legacy bashing. You want to tear this down? That's what it all comes down to, in my eyes. Mm-hmm. Now, I try to look at it, you know, in the best light I can. But if you give me negativity and it's coming negative, that's what I see. That's what it is. So it's just idiotic. It's idiotic, man. It's idiotic because you're putting people through all these changes, and it doesn't have to be that way. Tweak the thing if you need to. You know, that's what happens. Tweak it. Call it whatever you want to. Mm-hmm. But don't snatch that away from everybody like that.
I agree 100%. 100%, man. So many people are going to be suffering because of this. I'm blessed. You know, I have health insurance. I have these things. I don't necessarily have these. I don't have these issues, right? But my biggest one of the things I've learned in life, and I'm thankful that I have learned this lesson, is there's nothing wrong with taking care of the man next to you, or the woman next to you, or the child next to you, right? If I have to pay a little bit more in taxes, hey man, so be it. I'm good with that. That's a small price to pay to know that this man or this woman, if they need some kind of medical help or something like that, whether it be a physical ailment or a psychiatric ailment, that they can literally walk into a hospital and get the help they need, right? Trump will tax the healthcare. Yeah. And I have really good healthcare. I'm not going to lie. I pay for it, obviously. But it's part of the process. It's what I have to do. And I have no problem paying for it. But like I just said, I have no issue with making sure that the person next to me also can go see a doctor, right? You know, we all saw the emotional plea with Jimmy Kimmel, and I loved how conservatives just pretty much dogpiled on him. Look, man, healthcare is a right to me. Healthcare is not something that is an option. It is not for some and for others and not for them and not for them. Healthcare is a human right. The right to be healthy. The right to see a doctor. That is a human right. So stop with the, well, you get what your money can afford. No, I don't believe that, and I don't condone that, and I'll never co-sign on that. So if that's how you feel, then hey, that's how you feel. But one thing you'll never be able to do is convince me otherwise. Now, again, this is just the whole Trump care thing, and I'll go ahead and say it. Jermaine, I'm going to say it one more time. The majority of these executive orders, all these different things, right? This is about erasing President Obama's legacy. That is literally what this is. They cannot erase him from the history books, but they can erase his legacy. That's all this is for me. What are your final thoughts before we move on, man?
Man, you hit the nail on the head. It's about, and that's one of the things that we keep pounding on. We're going to probably keep on pounding on as long as this guy's here and as long as we're having this stuff, these kind of things going on. It's about the legacy bashing. And it's sad. You know, it's like it's divide and conquer, and everybody, people should see that, you know, and that's going to be one of my words. It's the word for the year for me, legacy bashing. So,
yeah, man. Okay. So let's go ahead and we're going to move on here. Hit this next topic. And let me go ahead here. All right. So let's talk about some current events. I'm actually looking for the image right now. I hate using stuff off of Facebook. All right, let's see if I can find the image here. Here's some of the images and stuff like that. And I'm going to go ahead and let me pull this one up. And we're going to... That's not what I need here. Okay, so we'll just leave that one up right there. And let's go ahead and we're going to screen share for everybody to see. Because I love the screen share option. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. No, let's see here. Cancel. And there it is. And we're going to go screen share application. Here we go. Okay. So Village, you guys are now seeing, and we're going to focus this here. Okay. So we're now, and I put this up on my personal page, and I put it up on the Welcome to the Village Facebook page. There is a lifelike doll that has been produced, and it's in the likeness of children. These dolls are literally here to try and deter. Yesterday, this story, I got to cover it. They're literally here to try and deter pedophiles. You know, this is absolutely disgusting, right? And I'm going to go ahead and back out and minimize this page and just leave it up. But Village, this is my thoughts on this. I know most of you are not going to agree with anything that I'm about to say on this, but I need you guys to just listen to what I have to say. These dolls are disgusting. The people that are buying these dolls are disgusting. The person that imagined this doll is disgusting. But if you will, just ride with me for a moment, Jermon, and Chance. Ride with me for a moment on this one. I am looking at this doll from the perspective of child endangerment, right? Let's look at the fact that even if one child is saved because of these dolls, is it worth it? Right? I look at the aspect of sex trafficking of minors. If one of these dolls keeps a little boy or a little girl from being trafficked into this country, right? Because this pedophile, this individual decides that, okay, I'll just get this instead. And I know that is a really bad way to look at it, and you think this will make it worse. And here's why I'm going to disagree with you, Dre. I don't think it'll make it worse. This is, from what I've read and what I put online, and I do read all the comments and things like that. I get it. These men are sick. These women are sick. Whatever the case may be, right? But if we go ahead, Chance, Slink, and we put this list up, like, oh, these individuals bought this doll, right? Look at it from this perspective. I liken pedophiles to cockroaches. That's how I look at them. They're cockroaches. So when you turn the lights on, what happens? Cockroaches flee.
They scurry.
They scurry, they flee, whatever the case may be, right? Mm-hmm. It'll be the same thing for these individuals that buy this doll. If we know each and every person that buys this doll, right? We now are putting the limelight on them. Okay, you know what, Chance? That is also true. It may get people on the fence to indulge and move on to real kids. This is also correct, right? There are so many facets about this that need to be looked at, man, because it's ugly. It's ugly. I'm not sitting here saying that what I think is 100% right. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is just listen and think about if one child is saved, is it worth it? That's what I'm trying to get people to understand. I do not like seeing these dolls likened to children. I think that is absolutely disgusting. But they exist. They're real. They are here. So much more I can say, and I'm going to put more into it. Jermaine, go ahead and give me your thoughts, sir.
Man, you know, it's definitely appalling. And it's like I'm wrapping my head around it. But also, I get what you're saying, Kev. I mean, I see where you're coming from as far as like if it could just save, you know, if that could prevent one child from being scarred, because that's what that is. To the people that those acts are perpetrated on. But like I said, it's hard for me to wrap my head around that, man, because it's like one of them things like when a person has that kind of tendency, that urge that's that strong. I don't think that doll is going to stop them. It may in that instant, it may prevent them from hurting maybe one kid or two kids. I am, but eventually I think that they're going to go back to doing what they're doing, because that still is, even though it's a doll, it's still a representation of a child. And when they get the chance to get their hands on a child, it's like an alcoholic or a person that's addicted to whatever it is, there's a chance for relapse. With those type of people, there are other treatments for those people.
Mm-hmm.
They can do some stuff that'll make their parts not do what it needs to do. And there are things that can prevent them. So the doll, I get what you're saying, Kev. And I'm with that part of it. But the other side, I'm going both ways with it. I'm down the middle with it. I'm giving both sides of it. That doll, I don't believe will prevent it. Will prevent overall from that happening. I think maybe an instant, but like I said, when somebody's has those kind of urges, I don't know, is it sickness or whatever it is, that urge, I don't think that would stop them. I think they need the castration. That's what I think. That when somebody does that kind of stuff, to me, there is no second chances. Period. When you do something like that with a child, your second chance is we're gonna put you back out in society. But we're gonna ensure that you do not hurt another kid or sexually assault another person, woman, man, whatever it may be. That could go both ways. We're gonna do something. We got some stuff for you. So that's kind of the way I see it. So, but I do agree with what you're saying on if it's helping, if it's preventing it from happening just to one kid. You know, I'm with that, Kev. So.
And Slink, man, I agree with you 100%, bro. I'm just trying to throw all aspects out here. That's all I'm trying to do. I need people to understand, this is not a real true blue answer. This is literally a Band-Aid for the bigger issue. Pedophiles are sick and twisted people. They deserve to go to jail, therapy, whatever the case may be, right? But in the meantime, what do we do with these young kids that are walking the streets? It's ugly. Like I said, I'm not sitting here. I'm not going to sit up here and say that what I'm saying is right. Because in my own mind, I know it's screwed up, right? I accept that. But damn. If these sick and twisted individuals can, if one pedophile is deterred because of this doll, damn it, man, mush on. You know, it's hard for me to even swallow what I'm saying because I am a father, right? You're a father. Chance is a father. Dre, listening in, she's a mother, right? We all want to protect our kids from everything that we can. but we cannot protect our kids 24/7. We don't know what's going to happen a lot of times when we drop our kids off at school. We don't have all the answers, right? Just a few months ago, there was a man at my son's school with a gun. My two boys had to be protected by El Cajon PD. I walk in to pick up my kids. There is an armed officer with an M4 protecting the kids of my that attend the daycare with my son, right? We don't know what's going to happen, right? All we can do is prepare them, send them out into the world, and hope it doesn't go bad. That's it. And hope we don't get that phone call that something's going crazy, right? And I get what you're saying, Chance. Pedophiles should be chemically castrated. There it is. That's it. You don't deserve that option to even use that anymore.
Now, Kevin, I just had an idea. I'm sorry to cut you off.
Go ahead.
Now, you got Dre, Chance. Now, say this doll wasn't made by some guy. Let's say they had this doll and this was used as part of some treatment, like when they were. You're still gonna get the chemicals, but this is used as some scientist or somebody came up with this. But this seems like this is just some dude that say, hey, I got a good idea. You know, you got people out here with they fantasize on this stuff or they're pedophiles or whatever, or this may prevent it. Let me put this out here. I'm gonna make a dollar and I may be helping people. But it's all about the context, I think, if they took that dog and they used that, I know this sounds crazy, and they used that in, like, he's in treatment, he's in jail, he's locked up. They're doing that with that treatment stuff or whatever's going on with that, and because there are ways to do whatever to get them on the right track, I'm guessing. I mean, I know there's efforts, but the dog, that's the only way I could kind of, but it's just a tough one, Kev, man, because I'm thinking out the box like you are, too. I try to think that way when I'm approached with things. I try to look at it at every angle I can, you know, as far as analyzing it, but this is a real, real tough one. I mean, because it just hits close to home, you know, and we want to do our best, like you said, to protect our young ones. So, you know, but that's probably my last thought on that. It just popped up in my head and I was like, you pitched that out there.
Yeah, no, I get what you're saying, man. Look, like I said, Village, I'm not going to sit up here and say that This is the solution. These childlike dolls are, this is the answer. This is going to stop them from doing anything. That's a crock. It is not. This is literally a band-aid for a bigger issue at hand. And until we get ready to really look at the bigger issue, then we're going to keep putting band-aids on all this stuff. So it's sickening. Yes, it is. It is truly a sickening thing to have to even look at and deal with. But it's real. It's real. We have to deal with it, man. I don't know what else to tell people. This is life. You know what I'm saying, Slink? You know what I'm saying, Chance? This is life, right? All these things that I'm putting up, I'm not just putting them up for the hell of it. This is what goes on in the world. Child sex trafficking, molestation, pedophiles. These things go on in the world. And that's it. Let me go ahead and... that's still a tough one for me because, like I said, I'm a father. Excuse me. Gotcha. So, for those of you, go ahead. I'm sorry, Slink. Go ahead, Slink. I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Kev, to be double talking over you. It's a mind-numbing thing, man. You know, just that in this day and age, in the time that we're living our lives, there's somebody feels that there's a need for these. Well, that there's a need for these type of things. You know. It's just, like Dre said, it's sickening. It's really appalling. Even, I mean, as a man, I mean, that's appalling. So, that's about all I got on the kid.
Yeah. And you're right, Dre. I'll end with Dre's statement here. The mind of the person who thought of it. I'm just at a loss. Yeah. Look. It's sickening. It is sickening to the core to think that this is what it's come to. Instead of finding other ways to treat this or whatever the case may be, let's help them. But in the same sense, and I'll say this on this before we move to the next topic here. If one child is saved, can we say it was worth it? One child. That's all it is for me, man. I may not be able to save the world, but if I can save one, I'm good with that. I'm totally good with that. That's just where I'm at. If I can save one, man, it's a win in my book. So, the person that invented them, you're a sick dude. The people that are purchasing them, you're sicker. I'm just gonna say it like that. But please, Absolutely. Please, if you've purchased one of these dolls and you hear this, you know,
we're coming for you.
No, I'm not even gonna say that. I'm gonna say,
I'm just joking.
You know, there's much more I want to say. I'm not going to say you need to wash your mouth out with buckshot, but you can think about it. It's okay. If you can think about it. I'm okay with you thinking about it, but I'm not going to tell you to do it. I'm going to say if you think about it.
Lord Embers.
So let's go ahead and let's move on here to this next topic here. Let's go ahead and just do some knee-jerk reaction. There was another topic that I wanted to cover, but I don't think I want to put it in on this one. I think I'm going to save it for the Saturday show because there's more time and we can really get into that one and go from there. Let's see here. Let's pull up this topic. And now this one, y'all, is kind of a funny knee-jerk reaction. Kind of funny. All right, my brother, do you remember Tom? Do you remember Tom?
Tom?
Mm-hmm.
A few times. What Tom are you talking about?
Tom from MySpace. Do you remember MySpace? MySpace. Tom from MySpace?
Tell me.
Okay, so Tom is the... was the creator of MySpace. I don't remember the guy's last name, right? Well, he is living the good life. Let me go ahead and see if I can pull this up. Okay, that's ready to go. And we're going to share the screen here. Screen share. We're going to boom, boom, and there it is. All right, so... here's what MySpace Tom has been up to while you've been wasting time on Facebook. Yada, yada, yada. Hook up. We had it. MySpace Tom, also known as Tom Anderson, sold MySpace to Rupert Murdoch's company for $580 million in 2005. And the 46-year-old has been living it up in retirement ever since. Basically, he is traveling around the world taking pictures. Stuff like that. That is what this guy is doing. He is traveling the world, taking awesome photos. That's one in Kauai. Been there. Been to Waikiki. Been to Oahu.
Really impressive.
Man, took his money and he's just like, hey, I'm just going to go see the world. Been to Sydney, Australia. If you ever get to travel the world, Village, I'm trying to tell you, go travel the world. Sydney, Australia. Never been to Hong Kong. That's another photo from Hong Kong. Bagan, never heard of that. That's somewhere. Thailand, didn't get to go to Thailand. But I'm sure you did, Slink, because you in that old Navy. You and Chance are part of that old Navy. So I'm pretty sure y'all was over in Thailand there.
I didn't get to do that, but, you know, unfortunately.
Chance is calling me a youngster. Like, yeah, y'all the ones that was doing all that other stuff. that's that old Navy, you know, go to Patio Beach and stuff like that. But anyways, the only reason why I brought that up, I was like, man, that would be a great knee-jerk reaction topic just to kind of Because even I, at one point, I actually thought about it today when I was at work. Because I remember I had some photos on MySpace that I wanted to carry over. And I ended up just deleting my MySpace account because I couldn't get the photos to download for some reason. So I just deleted my MySpace, whatever. But then I thought to myself, man, whatever happened to that dude? So I just hopped on Google, you know, the mighty Google machine, and was like, boom, let me figure this out. And then, lo and behold, that man then sold that company for hundreds of millions of dollars and is living a good life. That's yes, all indeed. I got, man.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. Living a good life. Ain't nothing wrong with that. All right. So you know what time it is, Slink. You know what time it is, Chance.
Uh-oh.
Oh, it's that time of night. Everyone's favorite time of the night. Village Idiot, y'all. It's time for some Village Idiots. And then we're going to call it a night. Let me see. Let me pull up this first one here. This first one here is kind of funny, but it's a what the hell kind of thing. All right, let me see if I get that to zero out. Okay, there we go. It's still kind of loading up, but I just want to make sure it's not going to just jump up and disappear on me. Let's go to screen share one more time, shall we? That's right, Village. Police departments offer to check meth for deadly gluten. Mm-hmm.
Oh, what is wrong? What is wrong with him? Oh my God. Oh. Hey, if you don't care, you make it stronger shit.
God.
Yeah, Kev, Kev, you can get some good ones, man.
Bruh, Kev, I don't know. I'm like a magnet for this stuff. I'm literally a magnet. I just, like, the universe is just like, hey, go to this website. Go look at this real quick. And I go look at it, and I'm like, oh, damn.
Oh, my God.
Damn it. Hey, gluten will kill you, but meth will just ruin your day. Damn that.
Matt just gonna get all up in this right shit.
Mm-hmm.
But that gluten, man, that get up, what that mess with that blood? What that?
Yeah, man.
Man, that's hilarious.
This is the world we live in, man. You know,
it's wacky,
let's,
man. Let's really wacky ass backwards.
Mm-hmm. Jesus.
Man.
Of course, I got more Village Idiots. I'm trying to get two more stories. But that for me is definitely story number uno. And that could go either way because, you know, I think the police department have good intentions. I think they do. So, you know, I can't even. I don't have the right jokes for this one, Jermaine. I don't have the right jokes to carry this. This is absolute. What?
It's almost like. Okay. You know, oh man, I can't wrap my head around it. They're almost condoning it. Like, okay, you know.
I don't have nothing, bro.
Why? What is that? Lethal in that stuff or something? I mean, why? I mean,
bruh, you asking the wrong person.
I mean, is it in the same kind? Obviously, I mean, I know. Is that in the same sense where I know that there are programs in some inner cities where heroin's bad and stuff like that, where intravenous drug users, right? And they have those needle programs, those needle return programs and stuff like that. Is that kind of along that line? Is that what they're trying to do with that? I mean, I don't don't know, man. That's weird too. I mean, I don't know, you know, I don't know much but that stuff. So, you know, but I don't know. It just doesn't, that just weird. That's just weird, man. Make no sense.
Yeah.
Made no sense, man. That's hilarious too.
All right, let's move on to this next one here, man. Next Village Idiot. You guys are going to love this. We're going to screen share. Application, boom. Share. Here we go. Exclusive. Manhattan strip club claim dancers are like sex therapists to dodge $3.1 million in state taxes. It's a great idea. And I am not going to confirm or deny, but I have... you know, heard about some people going to their local gentleman's club and just getting everything worked out. Not in that way, but in a psychological way. I'm not going to say that I have because I don't want to do that. I'm not going to put myself out there.
Therapist, listen to your problem.
You know.
Bobby, my daddy, me listen to your problem.
You know. Get you get you a lap dance and a, you know,
oh my God.
Therapy for $200. You know, just look, hey, I'm okay.
Anything to dodge some taxes.
That's right. Anything. This is the world we live in, dog. This is it.
Mm-hmm. Therapies.
Yep. And I want to err on the side of caution to say they can be.
Don't.
I can't even legitimize.
Don't do it. Don't.
Jesus. Black Jesus fixed it. That's all I got.
Oh, okay.
Black Jesus fixed it. Let's go ahead and do this last story here, Slink. Right. I wanted to use this one, but I'm not sure. Because, you know, he's an obvious village idiot. But, you know, let's see here. Yep. Village, ride with me for a quick second here. I'm going to find this last story. Here. Nope, I don't want to do any more village idiots. Let's just go with those two village idiots for tonight. I got it, because I hate this. There are stories that get posted all the time and stuff like that. So, yeah, let's just go ahead and what did Dre say? Hey, man, ladies get their... yep, that's it, Dre, right there. All right, Sling, what's your Twitter handle, sir?
At Slink Grindstone. That's where I'm at on Twitter. At Slink Grindstone. And BeatStars, you can get me on BeatStars. Just holler at, just look at, type in Slink and I'll pop up. That's pretty much it.
Okay, cool, man. I'm going to go ahead and plug Chance first. Chance is at Chance W. Brown. You guys did not get to see him tonight. I was really hoping to get him on to talk about Director Comey. You may get his thoughts. We may give him a few, definitely going to give him a few minutes on the Saturday morning show to come and just give his thoughts on that before we jump into our regular topics. So Chance is at Chance W. Brown. As far as myself, you can get a hold of me at Enlighten My Mind. You can also follow the Village Twitter handle at W2TheVillage. You can get a hold of us at WelcomeToTheVillage@gmail.com. You can send us a Google voicemail or shoot us a text message. 619-202-1562. Check out the Etsy page. Welcome to the Village Etsy page. Boom. Village. Yes. Welcome to the Village wristbands. They're up. Boom. Boom. Look at that. That blue, black, tie-dye, red, whatever the case. We got you covered. We got you covered. That's right. Get your bands. Get your bands up. All right? Also... If you guys head over to the Etsy page, which there is a link on the Welcome to the Village Facebook page, you will see the shirts. the shirts that we've designed, Lady J and I have designed. We recently just submitted another design to our t-shirt graphics person, and we're waiting to try to get the details on that and get it going. But there's so much we're trying to do. I hope everyone at some point, if you can just lend us your support, like, I'm not asking for a lot. Go to the Facebook page, hit the like button for us, share the page, tell your friends what we do. Every Wednesday night, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard, we go live, Slink, Chance, and myself. And on Saturday mornings at 0800, that's military, sorry about that. We also go live once again. We get your morning right, get you laughing, get you going. And then about an hour and a half into the show, we send you on your way to enjoy the rest of your weekend. And that's what we do. So with that in mind, again, join us on Saturday at 8 a.m. We would love to hear from each and every last one of you. Hit us up on one of the multiple ways to hit us up. You can check out the show on Podomatic, iTunes, and Stitcher Radio. Get a hold of us. We thank you. We love you. God bless you. Have a great night, guys. Bye.
You're rocking with the Village. You're rocking with the Village. Get it.